Wellness looks different at every stage. The right support makes all the difference. Shake up your routine with Vital Proteins Collagen Peptides. Your 20 grams of collagen sourced from grass-fed, pasture-raised bovine. It helps support healthy hair, skin, nails, bones, and joints. Made with no artificial sweeteners, it's a clean way to fuel your body. So your wellness stays effortless wherever the day takes you. Vital Proteins. Stay vital. Visit VitalProteins.com to get started. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free, and things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Welcome back to the show for hour two of Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. I want to thank you all for tuning in with us this evening. And our guests are Michael and Marty Perry. They are a pair of mediums out of California. They're also members of the Pasadena Paranormal Research Society. And we're going to get back to an interview with them in a few seconds. I do have a couple of quick announcements. For those of you that live out south and you're looking for a great opportunity to get yourself involved in the paranormal, don't forget about Ghost Stock 5 is coming up, run by Patrick Burns from TV's Haunting Evidence. He's got some great speakers lined up for that event. I'll be out there as well. It'll be a great opportunity to meet and greet, say hello. You get a chance to go ghost hunting in historic Savannah, Georgia. A lot of fun stuff going on, so if you get a chance, come on out and be a part of it with us. You can get all the information by going to ghoststock.com. That's GHOSTOCK.com. Again, that's ghoststock.com. You can also go directly to Patrick's main website, which is ghosthounds, GHOSTHOUNDS.com. Again, that's ghosthounds.com. And you can see one of the largest and most rich paranormal research sites on the web anywhere. You can go in there. You can join their forums, become a member of his board there, and share your evidence, stories, and things involved in the paranormal. But again, there's a link for Ghost Stock 5, which is coming up at the end of October. It'll be over Halloween weekend. They're going to start with a costume ball and scaryoke, as they like to call it. So there'll be a scaryoke contest. People will be out singing and having a little bit of fun. I hope that you'll consider it and join us. Also, the week before that, don't forget about UNIVCON, one of the largest paranormal conferences in the United States, taking place in State College, Pennsylvania. And that is a great opportunity to come out and hear some of the biggest and best speakers in the paranormal field. You've got coming out this year, opening night, is Doug Bradley, who played Pinhead in the Clive Barker Hellraiser movie. So that's an amazing little deal. So if you get a chance, come on out for opening night on the Thursday. And then Lorraine Warren will be there. John Keel, the author of The Mothman Prophecies, is going to be there. John Oliver and Patrick Burns from TV's Haunting Evidence. Chris Fleming from the TV show Dead Famous and the radio podcast Spirit Talk. Jason and Grant from Ghost Hunters, the team TAPS, the Atlantic Paranormal Society, will be out there. Michelle Bellinger is going to be out there, the author and expert on vampires. You also have got Keith and Carl Johnson, the demonologist twins, will be out there. Making a part of the event. So it's a lot of stuff going on. You also get to meet the guys from Ghostly Talk Radio Show, Night Watch Radio Show, and this crazy little show called Darkness on the Edge of Town. We're going to be out there as well. So I hope that you will join us. You can get all the information by going to univcon.org, univcon.org. Now we're going to get back into the rest of our show this evening and get back to our guests, Michael and Marty Perry. They're a couple of mediums, as I mentioned, out of California, and Michael originally from England. Before we went to the break, guys, we were talking, you said that you saw this woman's pet, tortoise, on a skateboard, and you were being tooled around. Now, Michael, you told a really interesting and funny story at the Queen Mary about other animal spirits that have come to you. Can you share a couple of those with us online? I think the listeners, especially those with pets, will be happy to know that even in death, the pets still care about us.
Oh, yeah, yeah. One lady... I was doing a session with her, and her father brought a horse into view about halfway through the session. And I described the horse, and she just started crying. I said, "Can you talk to the horse?" I said, "Blimey." I said, "Well, I'll have a go." So I think for the next 20 minutes, we just talked to the horse.
And nobody talks to a corpse of a horse, of course, of course.
Of course, of course. And that's exactly, and that's exactly what I said to my wife.
Oh, Michael.
And then the lady called back the next day and wanted to do a whole hour with the horse. And I said, "Oh, my God." I said, "I'll be like Dr. Doolittle talking to Mr. Ed." But we did. The animals... you know, they give me their thoughts and emotions and memories. So it's like I get a download of what they're feeling, what they remember, how they felt, all those kind of things, you know. So I can just put it verbally and say, "Well, the horse is showing me the time when blah, 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 and its favorite food at Christmas, and this other animal that was next to it that looked like this. You know, and names and, you know, details, so that the person knows that the animal's there." I mean, I saw a cat once walking up and down in front of this couple on a sofa in front of me. Mm-hmm. They were in a group, and the cat was a big gray cat, and I said, "Well, it's a very regal-looking cat here, and it tells me its name's Tigger, and it used to be a..."
Tiger,
yeah, it was a, oh, that's right. I said it, that's right. I'm thinking of another one. It used to be a tiger in its past life, it says, and that's why it was all strutting around like it was. It was very regal. And she just cried, and she said, that's its name, Tiger. That's what I called it. And I said, "Well, that's probably why you called it Tiger, because it was a tiger."
Hmm.
Now,
when you say it said its name is Tiger, is it writing it on a piece of ghost paper? Is it...
I'm getting memos.
Is
yeah.
it meow meow? My name was Tiger meow meow. Or how are you hearing this? I mean, TV has messed up my brain, Michael. You got to understand that.
You know, when your dog looks at you, if you got a dog or a cat,
yes,
and it wants feeding, it can make itself pretty clear what it wants. If it wants to get out the door, it can make itself pretty clear. I mean,
yeah, but Michael, come on. There's a difference between the dog looking at the back door and looking at me and whining. I know that means potty, but when he looks at me and, you know, I don't hear, "My name isn't Baxter, my name is Ronaldo." You know?
Well, I did have this dog once look up at me as I was looking down at it, and it talked to me. It was the most bizarre thing, just like the dog on Men in Black, the little pug? Yeah, the little pug, yeah. And it looked up at me and it says, I do great tricks, like that. And I said, "God," I said, "this is bizarre. This dog's telling me it did great tricks." And I was talking to this guy, and I'd already brought through one of his dogs. And he says, "Oh, my God, that's my circus dog." He said it could flip over backwards and do all these tricks. I said, "Well, this is the dog that I've got here, and this is what it looks like." And he said, "Yeah, that's my dog." So it gets pretty weird. But
now, do the pets give you an image? Is that what you're going off of? Or do their lips move and they talk?
I could see its image, and it put into my mind, I couldn't absolutely tell you for a fact that dog was talking to me, but what I saw was the dog look up at me, and I didn't see its lips going, because dogs don't have lips. You know.
So you're saying the dog is a ventriloquist?
Mind, in my mind, would put the thoughts.
Right.
I do great tricks. Sure. Now, I don't know if a guide or someone else that was also there speaking that night was telling me what the dog did or thought, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Or if it was just pure telepathy between me and the dog, and I, you know, because telepathy isn't like a language. It's not like, I mean, this is the most bizarre thing. Our computer keeps going, "Yo."
Oh, you know what? You want to turn the volume?
That is.
That's somebody in the chat room has got some kind of speaker enabled on it. So wow. When they hit certain things, it'll say something. Just turn down your volume and you should be
all
okay.
Right, all right.
It's the spirit of Sylvester
yeah, exactly.
Stallone's career, trying to, yo,
get, here, get you up. So I think that, you know, telepathy, thoughts aren't in the language that we communicate. You know, they're not. It's not English. It's not French. It's not Italian. It's not Spanish. It thought is translated into those languages. So thought is something else, and it's more symbolic and more. You know, well, we won't go
and
too much into that, but
foreign words too that you've never heard.
Yeah, I get. I mean, I get foreign words and
foreign names
and expressions. Like one lady wrote back to me and said, "You kept saying, I can't remember exactly what it was, but it's like Mina Mimini or something." And I said, "Your grandmother's saying this. I don't know what it means." And she wrote me back, and she didn't know at the time what it meant. She said, but she found out it meant. I think it's grandma in Spanish or something, but I didn't know what it was. And I remember another guy came in through, and he was Polish, and he used to say this thing that was Polish, but he never said it right. And the way I said it was exactly the way he used to say it, and I had no idea what he was saying to me.
So that's what I was going to ask you. When you speak to foreign spirits, do they speak in a foreign language?
They can do, yeah.
Do they speak in an accent? Or do you hear it just normal?
As well, yeah. Yeah, I hear accents, and if they're, you know, if they're speaking something in a foreign language to me, I'll just repeat it to you, even if I don't know what it means. Even in one time, I was doing sign language, and I don't know sign language, but the lady told me that all night I'd been signing everything I'd said, and I found that really weird. You know, like I didn't know who was doing that or why, but. Maybe they were just experimenting to see how far they could go with me, like what I would do. So, you know, it's an interesting, it's interesting seeing what happens and how it happens and how I take on mannerisms of people and things like that. You know, I'm quite comfortable with it. I enjoy doing it. I really like being able to do something in front of somebody and they know just by watching what I'm doing, that is the person that I'm talking to. Because, like, you know, I've held myself in a particular way or rubbed my fingers together and held an expression on my face, and that's exactly what the person used to do. So it's a kind of a, you know, somewhat of a possession.
Now, does it help you if somebody comes to you and says, Michael, let's cut the crap. I need to talk to Grandpa Joe. I need to know where the safe deposit box key is. Does that help you tune in so you can just go, hey, Grandpa Joe, where's the safety deposit box key? And he says, it's in my underwear drawer underneath my Playboy. Or, you know, I mean, or does it not work that way? They give you what information they want to give you.
Well, the thing, yes, it can. It can. But first of all, we have to establish that is the person that I'm communicating with. You follow me?
Sure.
Like, you may come with a desire to speak with one particular individual,
mm-hmm.
but I don't want to know anything because I'll look around, and if I see that person, the person that I'm going to see is the person I'm going to see. And, you know, so I can't make things up. I have to establish who I'm speaking to before I tell you anything. I'll give you an example. A mother and daughter came. And I saw grandmother, and I said, well, there's a lady here, I believe your grandmother. And then she mentioned his sister, the mother's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And they started crying. I said, oh, has she died as well then? And they said, yeah. And I said, well, I didn't see her yet. I'll look around. So I looked around, and I saw a woman standing there. And she wasn't old, she was youngish, and I thought, well, maybe this is her. So I said, how did you die? She said, you know, tell me some things about yourself. I was a heroin addict, she said. Was she a heroin addict, your sister? No, they said. How did you die? And I felt falling, and then she told me she was murdered. And they said no to both things. So I was getting a little frustrated, and I said, well, tell me some other things. And then eventually she told me a name, and the guy jumped off his seat nearly, and he said, oh, my God, that's my girlfriend. She was murdered. She was pushed off a building in Long Beach. She was a heroin addict. So this is an example of they're coming to talk to their sister, but that is not the person that I was looking at. The person that wanted to come through was the girlfriend who'd been murdered.
So spirits are opportunists. Now, is there a strength?
No. She described the person that killed her and named him.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, and that was the murder suspect, but they couldn't pin it on him because they had no hard evidence. But I said his name. I said, well, she's describing this guy. It looks like this, blah, 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 and this is his name. And they just said, oh, my God, that's the guy that they think killed him. I said, well, I'm telling you, it is the guy that killed her. So, you know, I mean, there's a reason. They're not just showing up for the fun of it. There's always a deeper reason why they're there. Well, especially with us, because it's the nature of what we're doing. We're not doing this for just to make someone's day, you know. I mean, this is heavy work.
We have had people, though, coming to think that we could give them the lotto numbers.
Right.
I said, yeah. Hey, if we could get the lotto numbers, we'd take it ourselves. I would give it to them.
In my head, I there was one lady, and she wanted the lotto numbers, and I thought to myself, if they give me the lotto numbers, I'll certainly not give them to you.
Exactly.
Because I knew that she was so selfish, she'd probably just blow it all on nonsense, you know. So, but they wouldn't anyway. They, you know, it's not that kind of. Although I did give some advice to a guy recently who's probably going to make about $10 million out of the advice from his grandmother.
What would that advice be, Michael? You know, I just want to. You know, I'd like to know what kind of advice you get like that. Just, you know, just feel. Hold on, let me get a pen and paper. Buy which stock at what price was it?
You know, that's what they used to do with Edgar Cayce.
Right.
And it's not a good thing to do. But the person that was speaking to this particular individual was his grandmother. And if the person is clear enough to me and, you know, I'll just repeat what they say to me.
So, and it was also, you know, a beneficial thing for a lot of people that they were.
Yeah, it was an investment that he was deciding which investment to make and with whom. And the grandmother brought it all up. He never said anything. He just sat there, and I said, "Well, she's saying this and she's saying that and blah blah blah." And she thinks it would be a good idea if he did this and this and with this person, and even named the sum and everything. And he came back to me and he said he's very glad that he made the decision that his grandmother told him, because it's all going through. And he's going to make a lot of money, but he's also going to help a lot of people. And so is this guy. So
it wasn't for just selfish reasons.
Yeah, because I said to him, you know, I kind of don't like doing selfish stuff, so we'll see where she's going with this, you know.
Well, we're going to take our first break here of the second hour, and we'll come back with more with you guys. And not to throw you too big a curveball, but when we come back, we're going to have famous paranormal debunker James Randi, and he wants you to do a reading and find out if you're actually fake. I'm just kidding. You're a psychic. You should have known I wasn't really going to do that to you. No, we're going to be back. We'll do some more questions with you. And, you know, one thing I'd like to throw out there for you, and I'm not going to try to put you on the spot with this, one thing that I've always looked for from a medium that we're doing this, and I know I didn't ask you on the show to do readings tonight, but something that I'd like you to work out, and you can, if you get tonight, you can. If you don't and you want to get back to me at another time, if it comes to you, that'd be fine too. But the one thing that I've always looked for a connection with my grandfather and I is the nickname that I had for my grandfather. And if that ever comes up to you guys while we're discussing any of this on the show tonight for the next 45 minutes, feel free to fire off the name. I'm just curious if anybody, you know, to me, that's what I've always looked for validation. Like I said, it doesn't even have to be live tonight. If you get back to me in an email or another event, I'm just going to give you, you know, the heads up on that, that's something that I've always looked for validation. And, you know, you guys really knocked me off my feet. I'd love to see you come out with something like that. So the pressure's on, man. Don't screw up.
How many people are listening?
Oh, I think there's only three. It's you, me, and Sid. All right. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. We'll be back with more right after this.
Once you have seen Dave and Tim in the light, you'll understand why we must return to the Darkness on the Edge of Town. Stay tuned. There is more to come.
For 58 years, Fate has consistently supplied its loyal readership with a broad array of true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate is a factual magazine containing articles by experts in all walks of life, and by others just like you who have something dynamic, significant, and truthful to say. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, archaeological hotspots, alternative science, and much, much more. To receive your free Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit our website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730 or www.fatemag.com. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Are you tired of reading about what couple in Hollywood is breaking up or divorcing? Have you ever wondered where you can find the news that covers the subjects that you are really interested in? I would like to invite you to visit SupernaturalNews.com. Supernatural News uses the latest internet technology to search for the topics we know you will be interested in reading. News of the latest Bigfoot, UFO, or Loch Ness monster sightings. Read about the latest conspiracy theories and urban legends. Supernatural News, where belief and reality merge.
They're hardly beautiful and barely average. In fact, when they were both born, the doctor slapped their moms instead of them.
I will slap you so hard you end up in the Ming Dynasty.
Welcome back to the darkness on the edge of town with Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis.
Alrighty, we're back, and you're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. This evening, we're speaking to mediums Michael and Marty Perry, and if you are interested in having a session done with them, you can contact them by going to their website at spiritart.com. Again, that's S-P-I-R-I-T-A-R-T.com, spiritart.com, and you can contact them, and they will go forward. Now, how exactly do you do sessions? Can you do them over the phone?
Yeah, we do them over the phone all the time.
Okay.
And I do draw portraits all, you know, on the phone, and I have some on my website that I've done over the phone with photos later of who I've drawn.
Now,
it doesn't seem to matter.
Now, you two seem to have kind of an interesting ritual. I've seen a lot of mediums before the events. They'll sit there for a few seconds with their eyes closed or pray, and then they're ready to go. You two have got your iPods kicking. What do you listen to? A little AC/DC, some death metal? What are you doing before you get fired up for this?
Pink Floyd.
A little Comfortably Numb? Is that what you're going for, Michael?
Yeah, that's my favorite, Comfortably Numb, yeah.
Hello, hello, hello. what are you doing when you're doing that? How are you?
Oh, you want to,
we're
tell
contacting
you
the CIA.
Yeah, I'll tell you something funny. We were at a fair, and this guy next to us, a friend of ours, he asked his friend what we were doing with the headphones, and she says, I think they're connecting with the ETs. So he comes over to us, and he says, what are you doing when you're listening to them? What are you listening to? I said, oh, I'm listening to music. You are? He said, I'm just taking a break, like in between readings, you know, to zone out. Oh, he said, I thought you were getting it direct from the ETs. I thought, boy, I got to go and take classes.
Well, what do you know? I mean, do you ever deal with extraterrestrials?
Once in a while, yeah.
Yeah, and what are they telling you where the safety deposit key is?
The lotto number.
Have they explained to you why they do anal probing? I mean, a nose should be just as good to probe, you would think.
Exactly, yeah. Well, the world's coming to an end shortly anyway, so it doesn't really matter any of it.
Oh,
so.
Well, that's good to hear.
Oldest,
can you give me a date so that way I can blow all my money before then?
Next week.
Good, because I only have $1.62, so I think I can hold on to that. So, but seriously, do you ever deal with extraterrestrial spirits, or are they? Maybe I should ask this: are they spirits really from outer space, or are they just from different dimensions?
We have a theory on the grave.
Okay. Hold on, not going to get into that. Yeah. all the planets.
See, Michael, that's why she shouldn't have taken the last name. You guys are starting to bicker already.
Well.
We've been doing that for 13 years.
Well, I just don't want to get into that. It's too complex.
Okay.
Basically, there are realms around all the planets.
Mm-hmm.
So just as you have, you know, the realm immediately after death around this Earth, and you have higher and lower realms,
mm-hmm.
You know, there's six realms above and six realms below in vibration. And on the other planets, you don't have the lower ones because they're all way, especially in this solar system, above, you know, and they probably start somewhere around level five or six on our realms on the other planets. See what I mean? So they're pretty advanced people. You know, a lot of what the people call flying saucers and UFOs are from those higher realms. People have this strange idea that the other realms are not as real as this, but they're more real. And this is the place that is not so real. And so when these ships materialize, what they're doing is they're just attracting to every particle of the higher etheric ship that they're in, physical matter, and it becomes visible to us.
It's
what they're doing. They're vibrating the ship into existence on this plane, but it exists more real on the other side than it does here. That's what people just, they have the cart before the horse. They think this is the real bit, and who's that guy you mentioned, the clown guy, the one that's always the debunker? It's like a clown, you know?
James Randi?
Yeah, not Randi. Who's the other one? Schroeder?
Schwermer.
Schwermer, that's it. Squirmer.
Squirmer?
I'm a squirmer, yeah. These people, I don't know, they're either paid by the government or they're complete idiots. One or the other.
Well, I know quite a few people that are paid by the government that are complete idiots, so there could be a chance.
Maybe they're both.
Maybe they're both.
Now, you're talking a little bit about what the other realms are, and I know we couldn't get into this too much on the interview that we did last weekend, and I want to give you a lot more time, and we've got a lot of time right now. I'm going to give you a minute and 30 seconds. Can you tell us about the afterworld? No, we've got some time here, but can you tell us a little bit more about the afterlife? Seriously, what is the afterlife? What are we to expect?
Well, the afterlife, is divided up into planes or realms. You could look at it in a way like the Lord of the Rings, if you wanted to, you know, get a rough analogy. If you trek over in that direction, you're going to end up in a pretty grim-looking place. And if you trek over that area, you're going to end up in quite a nice place with a bunch of pixies and gnomes and fairies and all the rest of it. And if you end up in this area, you're going to have a lot of, somewhat spiritual people that are like this. And if you go over there, you're going to end up with
Michael, you lost me as soon as you started the nerd speak with Lord of the Rings. I'm more of a Star Trek guy.
All right.
I'm just kidding.
well, basically, you could look at it as divided up into different areas or zones.
Okay.
But they're not like all on the same level. You'd have to move through different vibrational frequency to get to each level.
So the afterlife is a video game. Is that what you're trying to tell me? So I'm kind of like David the Hedgehog. Is that what you're telling me? I got to go to different levels and hit these different zones, beat the bad guy and move on, save the princess? Okay, I can accept that.
Well, this physical plane has laws.
Right.
Right?
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I mean, they're finding out just lately that, you know, things in a state of plasma don't seem to be subject to the same laws. And that things can morph and change into completely new elements and all kinds of stuff goes on. Well, on the other side, you're in a real environment and there is matter. You know, it's vibrating quicker. There's more of it. It's finer. You could look at it like this plane is made up of, peas, and the other side is made up of salt. Now, there's more, obviously, salt than peas in substance, and it's moving faster, so you can't see it because it's moving faster than this matter. So it's vibrating quicker, and it's moving faster. And Therefore, you're going to have more light, more sound, more of everything, really, than you are here. So you're going to experience more. But it, you know, and it's just as real and just as solid, but it's, it, you know, you're living in a multidimensional, you are a multidimensional being, a multi-level being. You're living in all these places at once, except that the whole focus of the most people's minds is on this one. You know, it's concentrated on the physical plane and the five senses. If they were to meditate and move their consciousness and their focus of their mind to different areas within their own physical structure even, they would begin to open themselves up to other planes of existence while they're in the physical. That's the idea, you see. The object is to become aware of all, of your all-inclusiveness, your all-knowingness, while you're in the physical body. That's the idea of it.
Mm-hmm.
Is to become, as it were, God-like.
So once we break free from these bonds on this physical plane,
mm-hmm.
When we go to the next place, is it more visual, more sensual, more, you know, can I smell better? Can I see better? Can I?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, you have more experience.
Now,
more
are these levels that I'm going to get to heaven or Valhalla or Shakari or whatever? So that's a little Star Trek for you. But are we going through these levels to get to the ultimate prize, the place where we're you know, what people
yes.
call heaven
yes.
or
yeah,
Mecca?
Yes, to become at one with God, to understand what the universe is. And that's a tall order. Most people can barely figure out, you know, the simplest things in life, let alone trying to understand, you know, what is a planet? What is a sun? What is an entire solar system? You know, how perfect it is and how... I mean, it goes on and on and on, right up to the, you know.
Yeah, I even have a hard time trying to get off childproof caps.
that's what I'm talking about. Most people are pretty much, including ourselves, are, you know, we're not that advanced in our consciousness, or you know, we haven't opened ourselves up.
Speak for yourself.
In our So the idea is to open ourselves up, so that we can experience more, feel more love, feel more at one-ment. You know, it's as simple as that. I mean, it really is that simple, but it's quite a process. It's simple, but it's complex. You know?
That's really what our aim is just to open up the realization of the other side for people to help them grow. And, you know, it's also for, you know, to ease the grief, because that stops your growing if you're too busy grieving.
Well, let me ask you both this then. Help me out and help all the listeners out there that are dealing with the same thing I deal with. I have had a chronic fear since childhood. You know, a fear that has kept me awake at night. I can't, you know, and it still afflicts me as an adult, 40 years old almost here. And there are still nights I just can't get to sleep thinking about it. And it's not wet shoelaces, but it is death. I'm terrified of death. The whole idea of not being here tomorrow blows my mind. You know, I believe myself to be, you know, spiritually based. I believe in God and Jesus. I believe in these things. But I'm still terrified that I'm going to end up just stuck in a box, rotting away and fully conscious of it.
Well, okay. The best way that I know to give yourself an experience which will prove to you that you are not going to die is one, you know, there's a couple of things you can do. One thing is to learn to astrally project. You can actually learn how to do it, and you can give yourself an out-of-the-body experience. It will be like to you,
mm-hmm.
like a near-death experience, except you're not dying, you're just, you know, you're just leaving your body. Now, you do this unconsciously every single day of your life. Every time you go to sleep, you have a little nap, you astrally project. You have to. And it's an absolute fact, and it will be proven soon, beyond doubt.
Well, I do. I fly in most of my dreams, and it's always the dreams that I fly in are the most lucid for me, and I'm conscious that it is a quote-unquote dream.
Yeah, but the point, what I'm trying to say is, like, if you were to leave your body absolutely consciously, like, if you were to lay down and move out of your body consciously...
Without sleeping.
Without losing any consciousness. So you haven't, like, dozed off for a minute or a second. And you can feel yourself and see yourself moving out of your body, and then you look down, and there's your body asleep on the bed. And you are quite conscious. You're fully conscious. You're not hallucinating. You're not dreaming. You know you're standing there or floating there above your body. There's no doubt. You can see it. And then you can move out of the room and go visit a friend or whatever and see what they're doing. And then come back and call them up the next day and say, hey, I saw what you were doing, you know, and shock the living daylights out of them because that's exactly what they were doing. If you can do something like that, then those experiences take you, you know, beyond the mainstream consciousness of most people, because most people, the thing I'm trying to get to is you're only what you experience. There's nobody on earth ever going to tell me that what I'm doing is not real. I don't care if every idiot, cynic, or skeptic sits in front of me, is not going to change my mind. I'm not afraid of death at all. I don't want to die painfully, and I don't want to, you know, particularly die in a bad way, but if that's the way I've got to go, you know, so be it. But death itself holds no fear for me at all. One thing that I don't want to do is have any regrets when I go, and I probably will have some, as most people do. You know, they'll think,
you weren't nice enough to your wife.
Ah, yeah, there's a biggie. Let's go and get some flowers now. But, you know, it's these things. You have to give yourself experience. That's the only way you can know. The only way you can know is to give yourself an experience or put yourself in a position whereby that experience is more likely to happen. And you absolutely cannot be afraid. When I used to meditate years ago, I would sit there and do my deep breathing exercises and slow my heart rate down and get very, very focused. And in my mind, I had decided that should anything happen and should I die, I would be okay with it. You have to be very zen-like. You have to be very like a, kind of like a samurai warrior. You have to sit down and say, I am going to do this no matter what it takes. I am going to know what this is about. I am not afraid. And that's the mindset that you have to have. You can't even think, oh, well, maybe. Or, you know, if it gets a little scary, I'll quit.
Right.
You know, that's not going to let you have the experience, because your fear will just get in the way. So that's what I used to do. And when I had my first out-of-the-body experience, I wasn't sure I was even going to come back. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I believed what everybody had said, that it doesn't happen that way. And, you know, people think, oh, if I leave my body, someone's going to cut the umbilical cord that connects me and I'm going to die. Or, no. That, you know, 99.999% of the time that does not happen. It's just those one in a million strange karmic moments that something like that might happen, you know, especially with some bad dude that's out there, you know, maybe like an Aleister Crowley or someone like that, you know.
Well, we've got to take our final break for the second hour here. We're going to come back in about 2 minutes, so stick with us. And, Michael, I talked to you about this offline before the show. We do have a call lined up if you would be willing to try to do a little miniature reading just for people. If, you know, again, I don't want to put you on the spot. I'll give you through the commercial to kind of think about it, see if you can and sync up, and we'll ask you about that as we come back from the second hour, so you can consider that. Everybody else, stay tuned. You're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. We're going to be back with more in a few moments.
We thought El Chupacabra meant the cup of coffee in Spanish.
Me llamo Eduardo Especial. ¿Cómo está el yay?
What you talking about, Willis?
Shows you what we know. Stay tuned. There's more to come from the darkness on the edge of town.
If you read Taps Paramag every month, you'll be able to tell the difference between the absurd...
Could not go to work because Bigfoot stole my car.
...and the creepy. Taps Paramag takes you where few would ever go on purpose. From exclusive interviews with the cast of The Ghost Hunters to the latest trends in technology in the field of the paranormal. To join our journey, order at TapsParamag.com.
Are you tired of reading about what couple in Hollywood is breaking up or divorcing? Have you ever wondered where you can find the news that covers the subjects that you are really interested in? I would like to invite you to visit SupernaturalNews.com. Supernatural News uses the latest internet technology to search for the topics we know you will be interested in reading. News of the latest Bigfoot, UFO, or Loch Ness Monster sightings. Read about the latest conspiracy theories and urban legends. Supernatural News, where belief and reality merge.
If you bleed from the ears while listening to Leo Sayer records, would it qualify as a paranormal experience? I thought so. Welcome back to the darkness on the edge of town. Ooh, that hurts.
You've got a cute way of talking. You've got the Tim and his Leo Sayer. You're listening to Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. For those of you that may have tuned in late, wondering where Timmy is, our dear friend Tim is in the hospital and will be getting out hopefully by Tuesday. He is dealing with an infection in his leg that thankfully was caught soon enough. They've pumping him full of antibiotics, and he should be back and rolling here in the next couple of weeks. So keep him in your prayers and thoughts. And Tim is actually running this entire show, except for my segment, from his hospital bed right now. He's listening to the show on his cell phone through the tower and running the entire show for us from his bedside. So thank you very much, Tim, for being such a trooper, and thank you all for tuning in and being a part of the show this evening. Our guests are Michael and Marty Perry, and they are joining us now. I got to catch myself. I keep wanting to say Michael and Marty Baker. And I don't know how Michael's going to feel about that switch. Before we left, and again, I don't want to put you on the spot. I know I didn't ask you guys on the show to do a reading today, so you know I know that there's a lot that goes into you guys getting prepared. Are you? Do you think you might be up to trying a little bit of a reading for one of our callers?
Well, Michael's going to try. He's got his headphones on right now, listening to some music. So I can't guarantee anything.
Little Bay City Rollers, get him going. Well, Marty,
carpenters.
Let's mention this while he's getting into this.
We can talk about anything while he's got his headphones on.
Is he a boxers or a briefs kind of guy? No. What if people want to reach out to you guys? How do they do it? What's the best way to do it? Is there a phone number or just reach through the website at spiritart.com?
Well, our phone number is listed on the website, so yeah, that would be a good place to start. I like people looking at the website first, too, so they have a little bit better idea of what to expect. And that way, when they call to make an appointment, you know, they've already seen what we can do and everything, and they've got a better idea. And that's all they do is do that and call us, and we can go from there. We also do group sessions at several different venues around the South California area that, you know, you can see how we work in a group. It's like John Edward does his gallery type thing.
Okay.
You never know who's going to come through for whom. But we get some really good things in the group sessions too.
And we've got you, of course, coming up with the Darkness event that'll be taking place in the Queen Mary, December 2nd through the 5th. You're going to be out there meeting and greeting, are you guys going to have a table set up to do readings as well?
We might. We haven't decided on that. We'll have a table up, whether we, you know, so that they can see the different drawings that I've done and you know, our flyers and stuff like that. Haven't decided on the
fair enough
readings, because I want to see the other lectures too.
Sure, Now, is Michael ready for us yet?
Are you ready yet?
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah, he's saying he's ready.
All right. All right, Michael, I'm going to bring our guest up on, I believe it's line two here, so bear with me. Again, I'm monkeying with the board, and I don't have Tim here, so I might screw up. Can you hear me? Ange, are you there?
Hi.
Okay, good. We've got Ange on line two with us. Now, go ahead, and what do I need to do? Ange, this is Michael and Marty. Michael and Marty, this is Angie, and I'll let you guys kind of go from there.
That's it. That's all we need to know for the minute. Hi, Angie.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
It's okay. Angie, well, I'll just tell you who I see in front of me here. There's a gentleman here, and he's not long gone. He's pretty recently got over there, this man.
Hmm.
He seems to have a walker in front of him. He gives me a name like Al. Could be Albert. Al.
Does this sound familiar at all to you, Angie?
No, not at all.
Might not be for you. He also says the name Susan or Susie.
That doesn't ring a bell either.
Well, while we're doing this, I'm going to pull up our live chat room. And if this does ring true for anybody that's in there, if you're hearing, you know, a gentleman that recently crossed that's using a walker and he's using the name Susie or Susan, just chime up in the chat room and let us know about that as well.
I think it is for someone listening. Angie?
Yes.
Do you have a brother?
Yes.
He's alive?
Yes.
Who is Michael to you?
Michael?
Hmm.
Do you have a Michael brother, sister, cousin, uncle?
Immediate to you.
Anybody related to you that's named Michael?
Either. Hold on. It could be live or cross.
Yeah, I have a sister who has a son named Michael. So, my nephew.
And he's alive, is he?
Yes.
And George to you would be who?
One of the Beatles.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know a George that I can think of.
Hmm. Okay. Is your mother cross?
No.
Is alive?
My mother? Yes.
And did she ever have a battle with cancer?
Yeah, years ago she had a small bit of cancer removed from her side.
Did she?
Mm-hmm.
Her father's gone, right?
Her father?
Hmm.
Yes.
Does his name begin with D? Is he Dick or Dan?
No.
Okay. Mm-mm. I don't think this is for you. What I've got right now is this man who gives me the name Albert. He's talking about someone called Michael. I want to get an accident with Michael. Susan or Susie, he says. It sounds like Suzanne or Susie. He gives me the name George. I think he had heart issues, this man that's standing in front of me, looking at me. He's around 90 when he crossed. He's talking about recent crossing. And he says, an accident. So this can't be him. He must be talking about somebody else here with me. A younger person. I do believe it's the M name or the G name, like George. So it's one of these. And it's recent, he says. In fact, it seems very recent. It might even be a week.
Angie, is anything hitting on this for you at all?
The name is not familiar, but we did have a...
cousin?
A cousin, yes.
Did he die recently?
Yeah, recently. It hasn't been that long. It's longer than a week, but it hasn't been that long.
Is it a month?
It's in June, late June.
In a car accident?
He was hit by a car.
There's a car involved with this guy. Okay. Is he in his 20s?
No.
He's younger?
Yes.
Why do I get 20 then?
Now, what's really funny, for a lot of the listeners that aren't watching, we are watching in the chat room, and there's a couple of major, it appears, hits for a couple of people that are going on, so it could be a couple different ones. Tuesday is in there. She said, her mother is crossed with cancer. Susan and Michael are both cousins, and she has a grandfather named Albert.
Yeah. I told you this might not be for you, Angie, the beginning part.
Mm-hmm.
But for you, I do feel a cousin that crossed recently. Because they're telling me a cousin, and he died in some kind of vehicle accident, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so hold on a minute. So you've got to realize there might be a number of different people here trying to say to a number of different people on the show, trying to say hello.
Yeah.
So is Albert a granddad?
Yeah, according to Tuesday in our chat room, she said that name fits as a grandfather for her, and some of the other names are linking up with her as well.
Well, he feels like a granddad to me. I don't know if he had heart issues. He seems to have a walker in front of him, so he's showing me that when he died, he had like a walker. And he seems fairly old. I think he's in his late 80s when he dies. Angie. Does the name Chris come up in connection with the cousin?
Yes.
Is he Chris?
No, he is not Chris.
Is Chris his brother or something?
Chris would be his stepdad.
Chris would be his stepdad, who's alive?
Yes.
Okay. Was he 10?
Yes, he was 10.
I have a boy who's about 10 years old in front of me, and he says he's the one that died in the accident, and he's mentioning his stepfather.
Mm.
Was he fond of the stepfather?
No, not at all.
No?
No.
His dad's alive, though.
His dad, yes.
Yeah. I asked him if his dad's crossed, and he said, no, his dad's alive. Did he see his dad?
Not really.
He has a brother, though, doesn't he?
Yes.
Is he younger?
No.
Then there's another sibling to him who's younger.
Oh, you know what?
You're wrong. I know I'm right.
Oh, wait a minute. No, there are younger siblings, but he would actually be their uncle. So his sister had children. They're younger than him.
He's talking about kids younger than him that are like his siblings.
Well, yeah, he would be their uncle because his sister had these two children. So even though he was 10, he was still...
What's that song you used to sing, Marty?
I'm my own grandpa.
I am my own grandpa, Marty used to sing. It's kind of a bit like that. Did you know this boy? boy?
Yes.
Then you must have done things for him because he's thanking you. Do you know his mother?
Yes.
Was it your intention to call her?
I thought about it, yeah.
He'd like you to.
Alrighty. Well, if there's a
Was there a vehicle that backed over him? Was he behind a vehicle?
You know, I'm not exactly sure. When he was hit crossing the street on his bike, so the car hit him and he flew and hit him again, and it was really just horrible.
Well, we've got to wrap it up on this. I'm sorry to cut you guys so short on this. And Ange, we'll try to get you connected with them offline after the show takes place. Michael and Marty, thank you very much. I mean, it was impressive. You guys are definitely linking in. You were hitting some people in the rooms. I appreciate you guys spending time with us. And we'd certainly like to have you back on the show here in the future to discuss more about this. And I hope that you will join us, especially after we do the event out in December, okay?
Okay.
Sounds good.
All right.
Sounds good.
I appreciate it, guys. If you want to hang on, I'll try to connect your call for just a minute or two afterwards if there's any final message. But thank you all for tuning into The Darkness on the Edge of Town. We'll be back again with you next week.
Eczema's unrelenting itch and rash. If you know the feeling, you should know the facts. The eczema medication you're taking may not be right for you. Visit MyRawTruth.com and talk to your dermatologist about your symptoms and treatment options.
PNC Bank brings you Call of the Wild Money Moves. You hear that?
YOLO!
That's an internet troll telling you to put all your money into a single investment.
YOLO!
He wants you to liquidate your emergency fund.
YOLO!
And buy a digital racehorse named Silicon Steve.
YOLO!
Stay vigilant. He's very persistent.
YOLO!
Guard against wild money moves with PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865.
What's up, y'all? Summer's got a different tempo. Everything's a little looser, brighter. One plan turns into another. You hear something, you stay a little longer. Next thing you know, you're somewhere you didn't plan to be. It's those in-between moments. That's where the ideas hit. Conversations stretch out, little memories sneak up on you. And sometimes it's just about what's in your hand. That color, that chill. The new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks. Guava and passion fruit flavors with mango pineapple flavored pearls. Yeah, that feels like summer before you even taste it. Funny how one small stop becomes the best part of the day. Start your summer rhythm with Starbucks. Try the new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks.